Stand by, please. We go live in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
In the 1930s and 40s, radio dramas ranged from staged spectacles performed for large theater audiences to closed studio performances mounted without so much as a witness. In fact, most radio acting of the time took place in a small studio with only 3 to 4 actors, a Foley operator, a handful of local musicians, and a radio engineer. Well, having given you a full-scale costume stage production last November, we're going to tip toward the other end of the scale tonight and give you a glimpse behind the microphone into the world of a studio production, as we call on our 9XM players to take on multiple parts so that our contingent of 4 actors is going to be giving you all 14 main characters in tonight's play, My Man Godfrey. And we've also added a cozy studio audience who, in the spirit of audience participation, will, we hope, each of them, be clapping for at least 5, in addition to filling our vocal gaps. And now we invite you to be a fly on the wall in our theater of the mind as the 9XM players step into the picture to bring you tonight's entertainment. Live from Buck Studio in Vivas Hall on the UW-Madison campus, the 9XM players bring you the Lux Radio Theater adaptation of My Man Godfrey. Our story takes place in New York City, a sparkling, glittering island of contrasts where wealth is made and squandered and lost. Home of the Bullocks of Manhattan. Mr. Alexander Bullock is an investment banker selling stocks and bonds who's made most of his money from information he's learned at the club. His wife and 2 daughters are of the typical society type, pampered, self-indulgent, and vacuous, whose only cares are dresses, parties, and themselves. But there's another New York City. You see, the 1930s have not been easy for everybody. Well, for most people, in fact. It was only the filthy rich that were able to survive the crash. Unemployment is hovering around 20%, and the city's poorest neighborhoods have a 50% out-of-work rate. Many have lost their homes, and some have moved into the city's many shanty towns. One formed off 10th Street, right next to the East River, and that's where our story begins. On a gorgeous night on New York's waterfront, softly the moonlight plays a phosphorescent light show on the undulating surface of the river and comes gently to rest on the dozen makeshift shanties of a shanty town known as Hardlucksville. A clearing beside the river is a clutter of junk, a place where the down-and-out might find some cast-off trinket redeemable for a sandwich and a cup of coffee. In the center of this wasteland, a small fire is burning, and a group of men, unshaven and disheveled, are gathered around it, warming their hands.
The lonesome sound
gentlemen.
Hey, hello, Duke.
Hey,
Hey, did you have any luck today, Duke?
Oh, sold some firewood. Made 10 cents.
Well, that's better than yesterday.
You say that again.
Well, that's better than yesterday.
How about you, Lonesome Willie? You manage to find any work today?
Oh, I hit the jackpot today. Peeled potatoes in the soup kitchen. Made one whole Washington, and they let me bring home two potatoes.
Ooh.
One for me, and one for the lovely missus.
Willie, stop talking and eat.
I don't understand, Willie. Why do they call you Lonesome when you're married?
They call me Lonesome because I'm married.
Well, gentlemen, I wouldn't worry. Prosperity is just around the corner.
Well, it must be a long street.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I knew which corner.
Hey, Godfrey, would you like something to eat? We saved you some potato.
Oh, no thank you, Miss Betty. I'm just going to go over to my own room.
Well, bonsoir, Duke.
Bonsoir, Lonesome Willie.
Night,
bonsoir, Duke.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Oh, this looks like the place, all right. That looks like a group of them huddled around that fire over there.
This looks like a pretty tough place to me. I don't know about this. What if they're violent? What if that mob tries to harm you?
Oh, please. I'm perfectly capable of defending myself against a bunch of riffraff. Now, you stall Irene. I'll go talk to that one that's sitting alone.
Hold it right there, little lady. Where do you think you're going?
Let go of me, George. You cheated. I was the one that told you and Cornelia about this place.
Well, we got here first. Besides, you shouldn't be going down there. Those people are desperate. They'll rip you apart.
You know, Cornelia said you were an idiot, and you really are, aren't you? I didn't believe her, but, well, there's no denying it now. I've been here before. That's how I know about this place. And the people are perfectly pleasant. Now let go of me. Cornelia's not going to beat me.
Oh! Ah!
Excuse me.
Good evening.
How'd you like to make $5?
How would I? I didn't quite catch what you said.
I said, how would you like to make $5?
Well, I don't want to seem inquisitive, but what would I have to do for it?
Oh, all you'd have to do is go back to the Waldorf Ritz Hotel with me. I'll show you to a few people, and then I'll send you right back.
May I inquire just why you would want to show me to the people at the Waldorf Ritz?
Well, if you must know, it's a game. A scavenger hunt? If I find a forgotten man first, I win. Is that clear?
Yes, quite clear.
I suppose you have something better to do?
Shall I wear my tails or come just as I am?
Now, you needn't be fresh. Do you want the $5 or don't you?
Madam, I can't tell you how flattered I am by your very generous offer.
What are you doing? Get away from me.
However, I'm afraid I'll have to take it up with my board of directors.
Don't you push me.
And no matter what my board of directors advise, I think you should be spanked.
Oh!
There she goes.
You knocked me down. You deliberately pushed me into that junk pile.
No, I didn't. But it suited you nicely.
George! George!
I saw that. I saw what you did. Are you in the habit of pushing ladies into junk heaps?
Maybe. I am in the habit of pushing gentlemen also, if that would interest you.
Don't you touch me!
George, aren't you going to do anything?
I certainly am. I'm going to get a policeman. Come along.
George! Come back here, George!
Get in, dear. I'll show that miscreant.
Well, hello. Come here often?
I believe that's my line. But yes, every day. I live here.
Oh.
Who are you?
I'm Irene. That was my sister Cornelia you pushed into the junk pile.
How would you like to have me push Cornelia's sister into a junk pile?
Oh, I don't think I'd like it.
Wait a minute. Are you a member of this hunting party?
I was, but I'm not now. You know, it was the funniest thing. I couldn't help but laugh. You know, I have wanted to do that ever since I was 6 years old.
You wanted to do what?
Push Cornelia into something. You know, a pile of compost or something. You know, that was George the Idiot with her. That's not really his name. But Cornelia calls him that because he's an idiot. His father's a broker.
That's very enlightening.
Cornelia thought she was going to win and then you pushed her into a junk pile. Are they all forgotten men?
Yes.
Even the women?
Look, do you think you could follow an intelligent conversation for just a moment?
Mm-hmm, I'll try.
That's fine. Do you mind telling me just what a scavenger hunt is?
Well, a scavenger hunt is exactly like a treasure hunt. Except that in a treasure hunt, you find something that you want. And in a scavenger hunt, you try and find something that nobody wants.
Like a forgotten man?
That's right. And the one that wins gets a prize. Only there isn't a prize. Because it's just the honor of winning. All the money goes to charity. That is, if there's ever any money left over. But there never is.
You don't make any sense at all. You should go into politics.
Oh, thank you. You know, I've decided I don't want to play any more games with human beings as objects. It's kind of sordid when you think of it. I mean, when you think it over.
I don't know. I haven't thought it over.
You know, I don't mean to change the subject, but can you tell me why you live in a place like this when there's so many other nice places to live?
You really want to know?
Oh, I'm very curious.
It's because my real estate agent felt that the altitude would be good for my asthma.
My uncle has asthma. Maybe he should live here.
Well, isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah.
He might want to look into it. I think there's a waiting list to get in.
Really? Well, I suppose I should be going, shouldn't I?
That's a good idea.
I want to see who won the game. But I suppose it was Cornelia again. She's probably gotten another forgotten man by now.
You mean, if you took me along with you, that you'd win the game? Is that the idea?
Well, I might, if I got there first. But seeing as how you treated Cornelia, I'm not really sure I should ask.
Let's beat Cornelia.
Really? Oh, it wouldn't be asking too much?
Not at all. You see, I'm very curious, too. I'd really like to see just what a scavenger hunt looks like.
But I just told you.
You sure did. But for some reason, I'm still curious.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, please, ladies and gentlemen, quiet, please. Your attention, please. Miss Bullock has the forgotten man. Oh. Here he is. Would you mind stepping up on the platform, please?
Yes, get right up on the platform, Godfrey.
His suit's well ventilated, isn't it?
Stand over there between the monkey and the goat.
Well, he looks like he's been living under a rock. No wonder he's a forgotten man.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Fire away.
What is your address?
Hardlucksville, number 15, East River, near the pile of cans.
Quiet, please, ladies and gentlemen. Is that your permanent address?
Well, the permanency is rather questionable. You see, the place is getting crowded.
Do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
If it isn't too personal.
Are those whiskers your own?
No one else has claimed them.
Thank you. Now, one more question. Are you wanted by the police?
Not by the police, nor anyone else. Nobody wants me.
A very good answer.
Splendid, Godfrey.
The committee is satisfied. Miss Irene Bullock wins the scavenger hunt for the Forgotten Man.
Shh!
He's going to speak.
My purpose in coming here tonight was twofold. First, I wanted to aid this young lady. Second, I was curious to see how a bunch of empty-headed nitwits conducted themselves. Well, my curiosity is satisfied. I assure you, it will be a pleasure for me to go back to a society of really important people. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Godfrey! Godfrey, wait! Oh, Godfrey, I'm terribly sorry.
I got a laugh, so that's all right.
I never would have brought you here if I thought they were going to humiliate you. You know, I'm terribly grateful. It's the first time I've ever beaten Cornelia at anything, and you helped me do it. Oh, I wish there was something I could do for you.
Why?
Because you did something for me, don't you see?
Well, I could use a job if you've got one lying around loose.
Can you buttle?
Buttle?
Yes, we're fresh out of butlers. The one we had left this morning.
I'm afraid I wouldn't be much good at that.
Oh, yes, you would. Oh, you're going to make the best butler we ever had.
You really think so?
Oh, I do.
Well, all right. I'll take it. Thank you.
Good night, Godfrey.
Good night, Miss Bullock.
Good night.
Well?
I beg your pardon, I'm the...
Yes, you're the new butler. Well, I'm the old maid. Come in.
Oh, thank you. How did you know I was the new butler?
Oh, there's one every morning at this hour. They're dropping in and out all the time.
Is the family that demanding?
No, they're that nutty.
Oh, I see. Does the butler have quarters here in the house? Or isn't it necessary?
You won't need any quarters. Just hang your hat near the door so you can grab it on your way out.
What's that?
That's the old battle axe. It usually rings about this time.
The old battle axe?
Yeah, Mrs. Bullock. She's the mother type. If she has the jitters, and she usually does, she'll ring again in a minute in no uncertain terms. Then, brother, you'd better grab her tomato juice and get going. Oh, well, there she goes. Okay, Cupid, 'tis your big opportunity.
Shall I take it to her?
Yes, but you might as well know the worst. Oh, I want to warn you. She sees pixies.
Pixies?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, the little men.
Oh, those?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, where do I find her?
Well, upstairs. She's in the first cage on the right.
Well, here goes.
'Tis been a pleasure. Don't forget your hat and valise on the way out.
Who is it?
Good morning, Mrs. Bullock.
Good morning. What day is it, Molly?
I'm not Molly.
Who isn't Molly?
I'm not.
Well, stop jumping up and down so I can see who you are.
I'm not jumping.
Oh, good. That's better. What's your name?
Godfrey.
Are you someone I know?
Oh, we met last night at the Waldorf Ritz. I'm the Forgotten Man?
Oh, yes, yes. I had forgotten. But then yeah. A lot of people have bad memories.
You can say that again. Between the forgetters and the forgotten, the country's in quite a pickle. Will you drink this now?
What is it?
Pixie remover.
Oh, then you see them, too.
Oh, sure. We're old friends.
You mustn't step on them, you know. I don't like them, but I don't like to see them stepped on.
Mrs. Bullock, I guarantee you I won't step on a single one.
Oh, at last, someone who actually understands. Oh, shoo! Shoo! Go away! Go away, little man! Go away! Shoo! Shoo!
This way, gentlemen.
Oh, there they go. Oh, you're very comforting, Godfrey. Oh, Well, good night.
Good night. Good night.
Why, put your hat and valise at the foot of the stairs.
Well, I think I won the first round.
You mean you're still working here?
I haven't heard anything to the contrary.
Well, you just got by the cub. Now try the lioness.
Oh? Which is she?
Her name's Cornelia. She's a sweet-tempered little number.
Oh, yes. I met her last night.
Mm-hmm.
Let me have her tray.
Second door.
Thanks.
Who is that?
Good morning, miss.
What do you mean by barging into my room, you?
Get out!
Get out,
wait,
you!
Wait, you don't
get
understand.
Get out, I said! And don't come back!
Well?
Well, I'm afraid I lost the second round.
Hey, Molly, cut out all the noise and bring me some breakfast.
Opportunity never stops knocking in this house. That's Irene. You want to try again?
Here goes.
Lots of luck.
Good morning. I brought you breakfast.
Oh. Are you the new butler?
Don't you remember? Last night?
Well, what happened to Godfrey?
I'm Godfrey.
Oh, you look so different. What happened to those nice whiskers? Well, turn around. Let me look at you. Oh, you're the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Thank you. Will there be anything else?
Yes, yes. Sit down and talk. You know, I like to talk in the morning when my head is clear, especially when I've been somewhere the night before. Sit down.
Well, if you insist, but it doesn't seem very good form for a butler.
Oh, you're more than a butler. You're the first protégé I've ever had.
Protégé?
You know, like Carlo.
Who is Carlo?
He's Mother's protégé.
Oh.
You know, it's awfully nice, Carlo, having a sponsor. Because then he doesn't have to work and he gets more time for his practicing. Except then he never does. And that makes a difference.
Yes, I imagine it would.
It makes me feel so mature and grown up.
What does?
Having a protégé. You're the first one I've ever had. Terribly thrilling. Not only does it occupy my mind, but it's character building, too.
Oh, just what does a protégé have to do?
Well, you just go on buttling, and then I sponsor you. Don't you see?
Oh, it's getting clearer.
Well, it's not really much work, but it gives you something to think of. And it's going to be so much fun.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be heaps of fun. But you see, a protégé has certain responsibilities also. For instance, if someone should ring for me now and I didn't answer, that would reflect badly upon you, because you're my sponsor, don't you see?
Yes. Yes, I suppose it would. You know, I never thought of that. You don't know how nice it is to have some intelligent person to talk to.
Yes, it's been very enlightening to me, too.
You know, I just thought of something. Do you know what you are?
Of course. But I'm waiting to hear it from you.
You're my responsibility.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope I'm not too much of a burden.
So do I. Well, see you in church.
Yes, yes. See you in church. Good night, Irene. Goodbye, miss.
Goodbye, Godfrey. Oh, Godfrey?
Yes, Miss Cornelia?
I see you're still with us, Godfrey.
Yes, miss?
I didn't think you'd last a full day.
I understand.
Do you like your place here? I mean, so far as you've gone.
It's better than living in a packing crate in Hardlucksville.
Oh, that's where I met you. Yes, I remember now. You were very amusing.
I'm very sorry, miss.
No, I didn't mind at all. Do you have a handkerchief?
There's a spot on my shoe. Will you see what you can do about it?
Of course, miss.
I could have you fired, you know, but I like to see things wriggle. When I get through with you, you'll go back to your packing crate at that shanty town and relish it. I'll make your life so miserable. Hello, Godfrey.
Oh, good evening, Miss Irene.
Ooh, I like your monkey suit.
Well, thank you for picking it out.
How do you like my new lounging pajamas?
I think they're very nice. Thank you.
I heard what you said to Godfrey. So what? So what? You leave him alone! So who's gonna make me leave him alone? If you don't, you'll get a good sock from me. Oh, the physical type. What I say goes.
May I come in?
You're in, aren't you?
Good evening, Irene.
Good evening, Carlo.
I've just been reading a very interesting book, The Greeks of the Middle Ages.
Oh, Irene would like that. You love the Middle Ages, don't you, dear? Shut up. Well, here we are.
Ah, Mrs. Bullock, как вы поживаете?
Oh, Carlo, you're so continental. Oh, it's so nice to see you two girls having a pleasant chat. Or is it a pleasant chat?
Well, well, well. Imagine the Bullocks gathered together all in one room.
Don't forget Carlo, Alexander.
Oh, I'm not going to forget Carlo.
Oh, don't bother about me, Mr. Bullock. I feel like one of the family.
Then you don't mind if I discuss a few family matters, do you, Carlo, my boy?
Oh, no, niet, not at all.
Oh, Alexander, you're not going to bring up those sordid business matters again, I hope.
I've just been going over last month's bills, and I find that you people have confused me with the Treasury Department.
Oh, don't start that again, Dad.
I've got to start it. The way you people are throwing my money around...
Money, money, money! That Frankenstein monster that destroys souls.
What? Say, listen.
Please don't say any more about it. You're upsetting Carlo.
Oh, Carlo, Carlo, Carlo. Who's the head of this house, Carlo or me?
Shh, here's Godfrey.
Your cocktail, sir.
Thank you, Godfrey.
Not at all, sir. Miss Irene?
Oh, did you make them, Godfrey?
I helped.
Well, they must be wonderful. I'd like to help sometime if you'll let me.
I'd feel honored.
While we're on the subject, how about this business of certain people picking up anybody they find on the city dump and dragging them into our house? For all we know, we might be stabbed in the back some night and robbed. Who's going to stab who, Cornelia? We don't know a thing about certain people. It was not the city dump. You shut up. I will not shut up. My life's precious to me. Well, it won't be in a minute. I think we should get our help from employment agencies.
Well, I don't know, but what I agree with Cornelia.
Why, you... Alexander, you've upset Carlo, and now you're upsetting Irene. Don't you remember her breakdown last summer? I do. That's why I'm not paying any attention to this. Well, if Mother can sponsor Carlo, why can't I sponsor Godfrey? Oh, Godfrey knows I'm not being personal, but after all, none of us want to be stabbed to death some night. Now, Cornelia, you mustn't come between Irene and Godfrey. He's the only thing she's shown any affection for since a Pomeranian died last summer. Now, Irene, you mustn't have a spell.
What is all this nonsense?
Oh, please be quiet. You never did understand women. Why don't you go get a doctor or something? I don't want a doctor.
Oh, for crying out loud!
Do you want an ice bag? No, I don't want an ice bag. I want to die. No, you mustn't do that. Carlo, Carlo, do the gorilla for Irene. It always amuses her.
I'm not in the mood.
Well, stop eating those hors d'oeuvres and get in the mood.
All right, I'll do it, but my heart won't be in it.
Irene, be a good girl. Look, darling, Carlo's going to imitate a gorilla for you.
A gorilla? I'd rather see him imitate a man.
Alexander.
This is too much. Too much.
It certainly is.
Well, I'm off to dinner. We must all get together again sometime. Goodbye, Irene.
Yes, I'm getting out of this madhouse. I'll be at the club if you want me, and I hope you know. Goodbye!
Irene? Are you feeling all right? Irene? Where's Godfrey? He's right here. Don't go away, Godfrey!
Angelica, we'll be late for the concert.
I've got my things. I'll be right with you. Godfrey's right here, darling.
Where?
Right here. Look, look, see, darling? Godfrey, say hello to Irene so she'll know who you are.
Hello?
Oh, oh, hello, Godfrey.
And he's promised to stay on, haven't you, Godfrey?
If I'm wanted.
Well, of course you're wanted, isn't he, Irene?
Yes. Go away.
Yes, darling, I'm going. Goodbye, darling. Come along, Carlo. Hurry!
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Always hurry.
Oh, Godfrey?
Yes, miss?
Sit down, Godfrey. No, over here by me.
Oh, yes. Thank you, miss.
Godfrey, would you mind kissing me?
Miss Irene, I hardly think that...
Oh, Godfrey.
Oh, here now. Wait. Please, miss. Miss Irene.
Oh, there.
Excuse me?
Godfrey, where... Come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going to my room, miss.
Oh, Godfrey, wait for me, Godfrey. Godfrey! Godfrey! Godfrey, open this door. Godfrey!
There you are, Godfrey.
Please, Miss Irene, you can't come in here.
Why not? It's our house, isn't it? And after all, one room is just like another. Besides, I want to talk.
I'm terribly sorry, but we can't talk here.
Now, don't you think it's rather indecent of you to order me out after you kissed me?
After I kissed you?
Of course, Godfrey. Don't you remember?
Miss Irene, hasn't anyone ever told you about certain proprieties?
Oh, you use such lovely big words. I like big words. What does it mean?
Well, you want me to remain on here as butler, don't you?
Of course.
And I want to justify your faith in me by being a very good butler. And in time, perhaps, filling the void created by the death of your late lamented Pomeranian.
Oh, I've forgotten all about him. He had fleas anyway. Besides, you're different. You use big words, and you're much cuter.
Fewer fleas, too. May I tell you a story?
I'd love it.
Well, once there was a very sentimental young woman with a very kind heart. And she helped a man who was very grateful. But then she became a nuisance and undid all the fine work she had done.
Ugh. Is it someone you know?
Her name is Irene Bullock. And if she were a smart little girl, she'd pick out some nice chap in her own social set and marry him and live happily ever after. And never, never, never enter the butler's room again.
You mean I can never, never, never come in here again?
Never. Now, out you go.
Godfrey, stop!
This way, please.
No, I want to stay.
Out.
Let go of me.
Out, please.
Oh, you'll be sorry.
And don't ever come in here again.
Well, you'll be sorry!
So ends the first act of My Man Godfrey. And we pause now for station identification. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.
Best show you've ever seen?
Right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Once again, the 9XM players in My Man Godfrey. Two days have passed during which Irene has shown an all too evident affection for her man, Godfrey. In the Bullock living room, a cocktail party is in progress. Irene, dressed in mourning, watches with tragic eyes as Godfrey moves among the guests.
Now, let me see. What did I bid? Spades? I never can tell the difference between spades and trumps.
Some hors d'oeuvres, Mrs. Bullock?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Godfrey.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, look, it's Tommy Gray, the polo player. Tommy, come over here. Irene, Cornelia, look who's here. Look who's here, dear.
How are you, Angelica?
Oh, I'm fine. Godfrey, where are you going? Don't go away.
Sorry?
Give Mr. Gray some hors d'oeuvres, Godfrey.
Very good, ma'am. Mr. Gray?
Thank you. Well, if it isn't Godfrey Park.
Smith. Godfrey Smith, sir.
Smith? What do you mean, Smith?
Do you know Godfrey, Tommy?
Know him? We went to Harvard together.
Oh, imagine a butler with a college education.
A butler? Is this a gag?
Mr. Gray neglected to tell you that when we were in Harvard together, I was his, valet.
Was he a good servant, Tommy?
Oh, yes. What's going on, Godfrey?
I'll tell you later.
Strange you never gave Mr. Gray as a reference, Godfrey.
Well, you see, I left Mr. Gray under very unusual circumstances.
Well, what circumstances?
I'd rather have Mr. Gray tell you about that.
Yes, go ahead, Tommy, tell us. Tell us!
Oh, Godfrey was working for us as a butler and so forth, and things were going along very well. But one day, are you sure you don't want to tell this, Godfrey?
Oh, I'd so much rather you would, Mr. Gray.
Oh, Godfrey was working for us for quite some time, and one day he came to me and said, Mr. Gray, he said, I trust my work has been satisfactory. And I said, why, of course. I said, I've never had more satisfactory work in all my life. And he said, thank you, sir. He was always very courteous, Godfrey was.
And then he left?
Yes, that's it. He decided he had to leave.
Why?
Well, he decided in favor of his wife and 5 children.
5 children? Godfrey, why didn't you tell me you had 5 children?
You never asked, Miss Irene?
Well, all I've got to say is if other people can have 5 children, so can other people. Listen, everybody. I want to make an announcement about something.
An announcement?
I want to announce my engagement.
Oh. Congratulations. Who's the lucky man, Irene?
Not Johnny Van Rumpel.
Yeah, that's who it is. It's Johnny Van Rumpel.
Johnny Van Rumpel?
Johnny Van Rumpel.
Godfrey, what is all this?
Meet me tomorrow, Waldorf Ritz Bar, 3:00. I'll explain everything.
Isn't this engagement a little sudden, Irene? You shut up. Why don't you wish her luck, Godfrey? Yes, come and congratulate Irene, Godfrey.
Why, certainly. May I congratulate you, Miss Irene? I wish you all the happiness in the world.
You wish? You? Irene! Now, isn't that funny? Crying at her own engagement party. Sometimes I don't think my daughters are all there.
Godfrey, over here.
Oh, hello, Tommy.
I thought you said you'd meet me here at 3.
Sorry, it took me a little longer than usual to make the beds.
Oh, well, what are you drinking?
I'll have a straight lemonade.
Oh, you sure you can handle it? One lemonade, one stinger, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's have it.
What?
The story. Well, when I wander into a Fifth Avenue asylum and see one of the parks of Boston serving hors d'oeuvres, there must be a story.
Yes, there is, Tommy. Do you remember that little incident up in Boston?
Oh, you still have that woman on your mind?
No, not anymore. But I was pretty bitter at the time. So I gave her everything I had, and I just disappeared.
And?
Well, Tommy, it's surprising how fast you can go downhill when you begin to feel sorry for yourself. And boy, did I feel sorry for myself. I wandered down to the East River one night, thinking I'd just slide in and get it over with. But I met some people living there in a shanty town. Folks who were fighting it out and not complaining. I never got as far as the river.
Well, what happened?
Well, I met all kinds of people. I met a cook from the army, Willie, and his wife, Betty, a sales clerk in a store. Good, hard-working people. Had a nice little house and some savings. Lost everything they had, even a child. And unless it was the lyrics to a song, I never heard an unkind word pass from their lips. Then there was this guy there named Bellinger of the Second National. When his bank failed, he gave up everything he had so that his depositors wouldn't suffer. Now he's chopping and selling firewood just to get by.
Not really.
Really? A better man and guitar player you'll never meet. Tommy, there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who fight against the idea of being pushed into the river, and the other kind.
But, Godfrey, things have always been this way for some people. What's that got to do with you? These folks are not your responsibility.
But they are. In spite of all the troubles they had to endure, they helped me. They always shared with me. They showed me the true meaning of humanity and compassion. They taught me all kinds of skills and ways to earn a Washington. I did all sorts of things just to live. Then something happened. I got a chance to take this job. Buttling. a chance to rehabilitate myself. I took it.
Oh, is that all?
Most importantly, I discovered that the only thing between a derelict and a man is a job. And someday, Tommy, I'm going to do a little rehabilitating around Hardlucksville. And that's why I'm glad I met you. Let me tell you my plan, because you're going to help.
Me?
Excuse me, Mr. Gray.
Yes?
You're wanted on the phone, sir.
I'll be right back, Godfrey.
Righto.
Good afternoon, Godfrey.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Cornelia.
May I sit down? Well, the mystery's solved, isn't it?
The mystery, Miss Cornelia?
Yes, now I know what a butler does on his day off. When you worked for Mr. Gray, were the two of you always this chummy?
You see, I worked for Mr. Gray a long time, and we got to be...
I see. Well, if you can be so chummy with the Grays, why can't you be chummy with the Bullocks?
I tried to keep my place.
Why? You're very attractive, you know.
As a butler?
No, as a Smith. You're a rotten butler.
Sorry.
So, are we going to be friends?
I feel that on my day off, I should have the privilege of choosing my friends.
Well, you can't go on like this forever. You really like me, and you're afraid to admit it, aren't you?
Do you want me to tell you what I really think of you?
Please do.
You won't hold it against me?
It's your day off.
Very well. Miss Cornelia, you belong to that unfortunate category I would call the Park Avenue brat. A spoiled young woman who's grown up in ease and luxury, who's always had her own way, and whose misdirected energies are so childish that they hardly deserve the comment even of a butler on his off Thursday.
Thank you for a very lovely portrait. Goodbye for now. I'll see you down by the junkyard.
Waiter?
Yes, sir?
Change that order. Make it 2 stingers. Double.
Molly?
Yes, Miss Irene?
What are you doing?
Sewing. Some buttons on a coat.
Oh, is it his coat?
Yes. The coat is his.
Oh, I'd like to sew buttons sometime when they come off. I wouldn't mind at all. I could do it right down here in the kitchen.
Well, he doesn't lose very many.
He's very tidy, isn't he?
Yes. He's very tidy.
What does he do on his day off?
He never tells me.
Oh, he's probably sitting somewhere with some woman on his lap.
Oh, yes.
He's the meanest man I know.
I think he's very mean.
I suppose he's sitting somewhere. Maybe with somebody on his lap who doesn't even care about him at all.
Oh, yes, probably.
And as far as I know, maybe his children are there with him, too. Calling to him. I can't stand it.
Oh, please don't.
You too.
Yes.
Oh, Molly. Molly, I knew just how you feel.
Godfrey.
How about the quartet? For tomorrow may bring sorrow, so tonight let us be gay. Hiya, Toots.
Godfrey, look at you. Where have you been?
Oh, it's a friend of mine drinking, browsing lemonade.
Oh, dear.
Father! Mother Irene! Everyone come here, quick!
What's the matter, Cornelia?
Father! Mother!
Here, what's the matter? What's going on around here now?
Father, my pearls.
What about your pearls?
They've been stolen. Stolen?
Oh, that's terrible. What do we do?
Well, we'll call the police. That's what we'll do.
That's the idea. Call the police. G-Man!
You don't have to bother. I've already called them. And I think I know who did it. In fact, I'm almost sure. What do you say, Godfrey?
Hiya, Toots.
One at a time. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. One at a time. Wait a minute. Quiet! Now, when did you miss the pearls, Miss Bullock?
This afternoon when I came home. I had put them in my jewel case this morning after breakfast.
She probably lost them. Last year, she left them in a taxi.
Did anyone see you put the pearls in the case?
No. Oh, yes, yes. Godfrey did. He was taking the tray out of my room. He saw me.
Godfrey, eh? Well, who's Godfrey?
That's me. Me.
Butler?
Yes, he's the best butler we ever had.
Oh, I'm sure Godfrey didn't do it. Although, we don't know very much about him. My sister picked him up in that shanty town near the river.
Oh, I see.
Are you accusing Godfrey?
I'm not accusing anyone. I just want my necklace.
Oh, it's silly to think of Godfrey wearing a pearl necklace.
Oh, yeah. Do you mind if we search your quarters, Godfrey?
Not at all. This way, everybody.
Watch your step.
This is
real.
Now, Godfrey would not have stolen the necklace. I don't know.
Shut up.
Stolen.
Shut up. Shut up, will ya? How can I find the pearls if everybody's yelling? I can't find them anyhow.
Oh, where have my little pearls gone? Oh, where?
Shut up, will you? Miss Bullock, are you sure you lost your pearls?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, they're not in this room.
Look under the mattress.
What?
I said look under the mattress.
Yes, that's a good place.
Okay. Nope, they're not under here either.
But they must be out.
What?
Nothing. What made you so sure they were under the mattress, Cornelia?
Yeah. What made you so sure?
Yeah. What?
Well, I just assumed. That's where people usually hide things, isn't it? What are you up to?
There's something screwy around here.
Yes. And I think I know who.
Yes. And so do I. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Officer, this whole thing looks like a mistake. Now, if you'll just forget it, I'd be very much obliged. My daughter is, she's a little, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Only it ain't such a little.
Coffee, sir? Listen to this, Godfrey. Mrs. Bullock and her two daughters sailed yesterday for a holiday cruise around the world. It is rumored that the younger daughter, Irene, is trying to forget a broken engagement plus another heartthrob, which is the real reason for the trip. Well, what do you think of that?
It is a little quieter, sir.
The socialite Mrs. Bullock and her two charming daughters relaxing on the beach at DeVille. They should relax. This is the first good rest I've had in 20 years. Expected home next week. Godfrey, they're coming home.
Yes, sir. Your breakfast, sir?
Never mind the breakfast. Just bring me a cup of coffee and four aspirins.
Hello, Godfrey.
Good evening, miss.
Doing the dishes?
Yes, it's the usual procedure after dinner.
It's nice to be home again, Godfrey.
Well, it's nice to have you.
Did you mean it this afternoon when you said you missed me?
Why, yes, of course I did.
I mean, did you miss Cornelia and me, or just me?
Oh, I may have missed you a little more than I did Cornelia. Why?
Oh, I'm glad, because if you missed Cornelia more, you probably would have missed me less. Oh, you look so cute in your apron. Will you let me do something if I ask?
Well, what do you want to do?
Dry.
Oh, all right. And you can tell me all about your trip.
Oh, you won't get mad?
Well, why should I?
Because every place I went, everybody was Godfrey.
I don't mean to seem dull, but I do seem to have a little trouble following you at times.
Well, for instance, whenever I'd go into a restaurant in Paris or any place, I'd close my eyes and I'd say, "The waiter is Godfrey." And I'd say, "I'm home and he's serving me dinner." Oh, it made everything taste better. And then we went to Venice and one night I went for a ride in one of those rowboats that the man pushes with a stick. Not a matador. No, that was in Spain. Something like a matador.
Did you by any chance meet a gondola?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was the name of the boat. And the man that pushed it sang. He looked just like you. Oh, it was wonderful. I didn't even mind the smell.
Look, do you mind if I talk for a little bit while you catch your breath?
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, while you've been away, I've been doing some things also. I've been trying to do things that I thought would make you proud of me.
Oh, I was proud of you before I went away.
Yes, but I mean prouder still. You see, you helped me to find myself, and I'm very grateful.
Oh, you'd make a wonderful husband.
I'm afraid not. You're just grateful to me because I helped you beat Cornelia. And I'm grateful to you because you helped me to beat life. I am very fond of you. But that doesn't mean that we have to fall in love.
Well, if you don't want to, but I'd make a wonderful wife.
I'm sure you would. But I'm not getting married. But we are friends. Very, very good friends.
Good.
And I care about you, and I feel a certain responsibility to you. That's why I wanted to tell you first.
Tell me what?
Well, I thought it was about time I was moving on.
Oh. Oh, Godfrey.
Oh, now, no, please.
I won't cry. I promise.
Well, that's fine. After all, I'm your protege.
Right.
And you want me to improve myself, don't you?
Yes.
Well, that's very sweet.
Well, when are you leaving?
Oh, pretty soon. But I'll call you up every now and then.
Okay.
We'll have long chats.
Okay.
And I'll tell you how I'm getting along, and we'll have lots of fun.
Are you going back to her?
To whom?
Your wife.
Wife? Oh. Oh, she was just a fabrication.
Oh, then you're not married?
Well, of course not.
And then there aren't any 5 children?
Well, there couldn't be very well.
Oh, Godfrey! Oh, Godfrey. Oh, Godfrey.
Did you ring, Miss Cornelia?
Come in, Godfrey. You needn't be so formal when we're alone.
Yes, miss?
There's a little matter I'd like to talk over with you. I met some people on the boat coming over. A Boston family. They know a great deal about a family called the Parks. Are you interested, Godfrey?
Slightly, yes.
Well, we can't talk here very well. Let's you and I take a long taxi ride out Van Cortlandt Way. I heard what you said. Did you? He's not going anywhere with you. Oh, yes, he is, if he knows what's good for him. I'll be waiting, Godfrey. Well, he's not going. He's not. He's not! Godfrey, you can't go with Cornelia.
But I didn't say I was going anyplace with Miss Cornelia.
No, but you will. She always gets her own way. She makes everybody do just as she likes.
Why should you care whether or not I meet her?
I do care, that's why. It's Cornelia who doesn't care.
But I think I should decide those things for myself.
Godfrey! I don't want to be annoying, but...
Oh, Miss Irene. Here, here now. Get up. Get up. Open your eyes. Do you hear me? Open your eyes. Now, if you're faking another spell, you're on the wrong track. Are you faking? Oh, you're not, huh? All right. We'll soon find out. Here we go. Yeah. Now, up she goes. Ah, that's the girl. Now I'll just carry you inside. Godfrey knows how to take care of little Irene when she faints. Godfrey will take care of everything. Right. That's the girl. Now everything will be fine in just a moment. The best thing for the faints is a nice cold shower. There. Now, you'll feel fine in a minute.
Irene, stop running around all wet.
Oh, Mother, Mother, he loves me.
What?
Godfrey loves me. He loves me. He put me in the shower. Godfrey loves me. He loves me. Godfrey put me in the shower. Oh, Godfrey.
The curtain, perhaps the shower curtain, falls on the second act of My Man Godfrey. Before the 9XM players return for Act 3, we present our theme for tonight, one of America's greatest hit tunes, Paper Moon, adapted by permission to our Lux story. Let's suppose that a gal has suffered the embarrassment of a stocking run on the very moment she wishes to look her best. In our Lux version, we offer her a helpful suggestion.
One night under a silver moon, Clyde held Sue, she began to swoon. But in mid-kiss, he heard a hiss that made him change his tune. "What's that sound like a zip?" he said, as Susie's stockings began to shred. The romance plunked, she hadn't dumped in Lux Brand X instead. A swish in Lux gave her hosiery appeal. A soak in Lux made her stockings tougher than stainless steel. Sue's confidence bounced right back. No more fears that her hose would crack. For just $2, she bought some Lux and got love back on track. A swish in Lux gave her hosiery appeal. A soak in Lux made her stockings tougher than stainless steel. Sue's back under the starlit sky, getting smooches from her new guy. Soaked her hose from tops to toes in Lux, which you should buy. Soaked her hose from tops to toes in Lux, which you should buy.
Yes, Lux Flakes do cut down on embarrassing stocking runs because they save stocking elasticity. Think how much your sheer stocking stretches every time you bend your knee. If it isn't elastic, your stocking, not your knee, it breaks. A run pops. So, you can see the importance of preserving elasticity with Lux Flakes. Soaps with harmful alkali and cake soap rubbing weaken elasticity. To get longer wear from your stockings, always wash them with Lux. And now the 9XM players in the final act of My Man Godfrey. It's the following afternoon. In the Bullock living room, Carlo is practicing for his never-arriving recital, while Mrs. Bullock and Cornelia listen inattentively. Mr. Bullock, entering from the hall, surveys the scene gloomily.
Shut up!
What?
What did you say?
I told him to shut up.
Well, I never.
And you can shut up with him. And you too, Cornelia.
I didn't open my mouth.
Well, don't. Listen, and listen carefully.
because it hurts me to repeat it. The Bullocks are broke.
What?
I am broke. You are broke. She is broke. We're all broke! Not only that, but I've been using the bank's money for the last month to speculate with. And I've lost! Do you hear that? I've lost! That means I'm an embezzler. Unless I get a hold of a wad of money by the first of the month, I'm going to jail. Now, isn't that an interesting story?
Well, I certainly think it was very foolish of you. You had no right to do it.
An embezzler? And to think I've been a guest in your house. Is there nothing left?
Not a cent.
Ah, your food and drink have turned to dirt in my mouth.
What? That settles it. Carlo, would you step into the hall for a moment?
What for?
Well, I want to speak to you man to man.
You have found a way out?
Yes, for one of us anyhow. This way, Carlo.
Excuse me, please. Well?
Alexander, what are you doing out there? Alexander! Cornelia, what are they doing out there? Alexander, come here! Come here! What did you say to Carlo?
I said goodbye.
Did he go?
Oh, yes. He left very hurriedly by the side window.
Alexander, you're cruel.
Did I hear something fall, sir?
Yes, you did.
Godfrey, come here. Carlo is gone.
Is he?
But you don't even seem surprised.
Well, I think I've been expecting it. We all have to go sometime.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? You're so smart, Godfrey. Maybe you can tell me why Mr. Bullock has to go to jail. Mother.
Why, I'm sure Mr. Bullock doesn't have to go to jail. You see, I've known for some time, ma'am, the Bullock interests were in rather a bad way.
How did you know that?
Oh, I follow the market a bit. So I took the liberty of dabbling in some stock on my own account. Here, sir.
Well, what's this?
That is most of your stock. I knew it was being dumped on the market, so I sold short.
You sold men's shorts? Is there a big market for those?
Wait a minute. Do you mean that you've been making money when I was losing it?
I did it in your interest, sir. I felt I owed your family a debt. I hope I've repaid it. And I may add, some of the money went into a project of my own. I hope you won't mind, sir.
You mean you did all that on $150 a month?
Well, hardly. You see, with the aid of Tommy Gray and Miss Cornelia's pearls... Here, Miss Cornelia.
Oh, Godfrey. Then you did steal them after all.
Well,
I put the pearls under Godfrey's mattress.
Thank you, Miss Cornelia. I was hoping you would say that.
Here, Godfrey. These pearls are rightfully yours.
Oh, no, thank you. I've repaid my debt, and I'm grateful to all of you.
If anyone's indebted, we are. Especially after the way some of us had treated you.
Oh, I've been repaid in many ways. I learned patience from Mr. Bullock. I found Mrs. Bullock at all times, shall we say, amusing.
That's very complimentary of you, Godfrey.
What good did you find in me, if any?
Oh, a great deal. You taught me the fallacy of false pride. You taught me humility.
I don't understand you.
Miss Cornelia, there have been other spoiled children in the world. I happen to be one of them myself. You're a high-spirited young woman. I only hope that you'll use those high spirits in a more constructive way. Perhaps you can take a lesson from your sister. Her brain may be a little misguided, but her heart is always in the right place. And so, goodbye.
Oh, dear.
There goes a great guy.
Hello.
Hello, Irene.
Well, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Well, what's the matter with her, Cornelia?
I don't know.
But what's the matter with everybody? What's everybody crying about?
Godfrey's gone!
Gone? Gone where?
He didn't say!
Then why didn't you stop him? Why didn't you hold him here?
We couldn't!
Well, he's not gonna get away from me.
Well, where are you going?
Hard Luxville.
Well, this is it, Tommy. Hard Luxville, we call it. A palace of music and dining built on a foundation of tin cans and ashes. Let me show you around.
Like a fox.
Like a fox.
Like a fox.
Like a fox on the run.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen and
hey,
ladies.
How you doing?
This is Tommy Gray. He's an old college pal of mine.
Oh, hiya, Tommy.
Hey, did you have any luck today, Duke?
250 guests. Made $5,000.
Well, that's better than yesterday.
Yes, say that again.
Well, that's better than yesterday.
Never gets old. How about you, Lonesome Willie? How's life treating you?
Well, I hit the jackpot today, Duke. Peeled some potatoes. Now I'm playing some music. Made a pile of Washingtons and even got some dinner. Some for the missus, too.
Oh, Willie, stop talking and play.
I don't understand. Godfrey, why do they call you Duke?
We call him Duke because he's always had an air about him.
Yeah, like that time he shoveled out the police horse barns for the day.
Hey, Godfrey, will Irene be coming tonight?
No, Miss Betty. I can think of nothing more distracting than having Miss Irene in attendance tonight.
Oh, I just thought that maybe if she was actually here in the flesh, you might stop talking about how much you're not in love with her.
Toujours l'amour, Duke.
Bonsoir, Lonesome Willie. Tommy, come into my office.
Oh. Hey, oh, night,
bonsoir,
Godfrey.
Duke.
See you later. Goodbye.
Well, how do you like it? It's partly yours.
Now, just a minute, Godfrey. Is this where my money went?
Some of yours. All of mine.
Into a nightclub?
It's not a nightclub. It's employment for 50 people, working in the restaurant or playing in the band. And that restaurant also serves as a soup kitchen, feeding other forgotten men who can sleep on cots on the dance floor at night. Out back, there's permanent housing for 10 families. What more could you want from an investment?
Nothing. You're the most peculiar butler I've ever met.
Ex-butler?
Fired?
No, I quit. I felt that foolish feeling coming on again. Like I was falling in love.
Oh, you mean Irene? Why don't you marry her?
Oh, no, thank you. Being her butler was tough enough.
Now, Godfrey, I've known you a long time. You can't fool me. For you, denial is a sign of true love. Look, just because you've been burned once doesn't mean you shouldn't take the plunge again.
Tommy, I wouldn't marry Irene if she walked through that door right now.
Well, hello.
Well, Godfrey, your bride is here.
Irene, what are you doing here?
Yes, what are you doing here? Now, don't let him off the hook, Irene.
I won't.
So long, Godfrey, and let me be the first to offer you congratulations.
Oh, my. How you fixed this place up, Godfrey. It's much nicer than when I was here before.
Oh, you noticed that.
Are the Forgotten Men having a party? I remember the band from when I was here last time. They're very good, you know.
Yes, it's their annual reunion and sing-along.
Well, I saw the mayor out there. Is he a forgotten man, too?
He's the guest of honor.
Oh, it's a lovely view with the bridge and all. Is the bridge always there?
Most always.
You know, I'm gonna like this place. Oh, what's over here? Oh, is this where you sleep?
Well, that's the general purpose of the room. Any observations?
I think it's very cute, but we'll have to change the wallpaper.
What do you mean we'll have to change the wallpaper?
I don't like green wallpaper. It makes me nauseous.
May I come in?
Oh, Mayor Cortland.
Mr. Gray said there was a couple of people in here who wanted to get married. Are you it?
Yes, we're it, Mayor Cortland. Well, can you marry us without a license?
Without a license? Well, it may get me into a lot of trouble, but I guess I know your family long enough, well enough to take a chance. Does your father know about this?
Well, everybody knows about it, except for Godfrey.
Hey, Mr. Gray told us you two were getting married and needed some music.
That's right. Set up right over here.
Oh, okay, guys. Right over here.
Well, that's everything. Come on, Godfrey. We're all ready.
Join hands, please.
No, wait. Listen, Irene, we can't do it. You simply...
Just accept it, Godfrey. You know you love me. You've loved me ever since you first met me right here during the scavenger hunt. Now you don't have to admit it. All you have to do is say I do. Can you do that, my darling?
I do.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
You've been listening to My Man Godfrey, performed live by the 9XM Players as part of our old-time radio Silver Jubilee, celebrating 25 years of old-time radio on the oldest station in the nation, Wisconsin Public Radio. Our broadcast has come to you from our Buck Studio in Vilas Hall on the UW-Madison campus.
You tell me to sleep and mop the floor. Hasn't been done in 3 days or four, but it ain't even dirty.
Tonight's performance featured Pete Bisson as Godfrey and Mr. Bullock, Michelle Good as Irene, Cornelia, and Angelica Bullock, Russell Wolf as George, Guthrie, Carlo, Tommy, and Mayor Cortland, and Liz Stettleman Scanlon as Molly and Miss Betty. Our Forgotten Men and Women were played by Ian Alderman, Willie Jones, Jeff Kunkel, Mark Schlute, Liz Stettleman Scanlon, and Tina Thompson, the Oak Street Ramblers, who, of course, also provided tonight's music. Our director is Michelle Good. Brittany True is our Foley operator. And Joe Harkey is our broadcast engineer. Special thanks to Mary Cade McCoy, Dean Knetter, Sonny G, Portabella, and Pison's Restaurant, and also to Aaron Shea and Sonia Frederick of Bocce Salon. And thanks to our studio audience for showing up tonight and sticking with us all the way through.
You tell me to go and brush my teeth. You think my mouth smells like last night's corned beef, but it ain't even dirty. It ain't even dirty. It ain't even dirty about brushing when it gets that way.
I'm Norman Gilliland. Next up, at 10 o'clock, is the great Gildersleeve. And this is old-time radio drama. We'll continue immediately with music from the 1930s from Sidney Bechet and his orchestra, right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.